Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are Aesop Science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about influencers, how they have changed over the years as, I guess, quote-unquote influencers who've been doing this for 11 years. We're going to talk about the sort of beginning stages of the internet, where we are at now, how things have shifted, and how this relates to you. But first, we're going to talk about how London, England, is going to be underwater soon, and also postpartum depression. I read his page.
It's still one of my least favorite things ever in the world when somebody reads my phone, or even if I'm writing something,
reads
my
your phone
folder, or like my computer. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's true. I can
it
picture being like, oh,
so
your phone
much.
And then you'll be like, Greg, I'm gonna kill you.
It's like even when a teacher in school would like be over your shoulder while you were doing an exam, I want to like turn around and be like, stop looking at me.
Yeah, you do have like, you're also like good with like, you can talk back to authority.
Oh, that is not true.
Oh, is it? I thought that you
I could. I can talk back in the right circumstance where I feel very justified, but not to like authority unless I'm like, they've done something actually wrong.
Oh, wow.
But I just have this thing where it's like, I don't know.
I love authority. I love authority.
Yeah. Okay.
No, so. But I mean, like, I miss it. I'm like, does someone want to like be my teacher?
Is this
like,
what?
Am I like? Am
no,
I,
you
like,
want
Dom
a mentor,
subbing?
Not an authority.
No, yeah, I want a mentor, a
we
really
mentor,
cool one.
Yeah.
We need mentors. Who wants to mentor us?
Putting Can a, someone mentor
like
us?
Putting a call out there, like
actually,
truly.
Though, that is something that I've heard is so important in people's lives, and we haven't really.
It
had.
Relates to today. We are talking about influencers then and now. The reason we don't have mentors is because no one's done this shit before us. Mm-hmm. Really? You can call up Tyler Oakley, but he's only like 2 years ahead of us or whatever.
Yeah.
Call up Charlie Bit My Finger. Like, who the hell? Do you know what I mean? Like,
imagine that was our mentor.
But actually, and we're going to go into some embarrassing details of being a millennial YouTuber, but who is it? Smosh? It's like, okay, I've hung out with Anthony Padilla. I think we gave him advice. You know what I mean? I'm sure he gave us advice. Did he?
Yeah, I don't remember, to be honest.
We were just like, you're cute.
What do we want to talk about right now?
I thought that's what we were going to talk about, but...
No, that's the episode.
Do we have
girl.
Nothing?
We're
do we have nothing?
It.
Okay, let's just get in. Like, what did we learn this week? That's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Okay. Mine's sad. I just kind of want to get it out there.
Mine's kind of sad, too.
Oh. Okay, but...
No, get yours out there, because mine's...
But ultimately, mine's like... positive research.
Okay, so
but it is about a sad thing.
Yeah, go.
It's about how dads can also suffer from postpartum depression.
Oh, that's like interesting.
Yeah, I didn't mean it's like
no one ever like says talks about that.
Exactly. That's what this study was. It's a new pilot study at the University of Illinois, Chicago. And they are now suggesting that men should be screened for the condition. In their study, the caveat being that I think it was like underserved communities or something like that. 30% of people who were screened, of men who were screened, were positive for postpartum depression on the same tool that they normally use on moms. And so the overall context is like, obviously a woman at risk for postpartum depression is even more likely to get it if her partner is also depressed, and to recognize that. And I'm sure this could go for queer couples as well, whatever mix genders. Is like, just like, obviously people think of postpartum depression being something that like a mother experiences, and obviously that there is a lot of hormonal changes in the body and a lot that happens, but I think to know that the partner can also be going through something like that too, and that they should be screened because that can help support the family as a whole to know that, I thought was interesting. And the overall aim of what they said the study was hoping to impact with.
Well, no one in my life has talked about the postpartum depression after male.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it is obviously like, yeah, why not? Like, the tone was like,
I think it's obvious why.
Oh, okay. Well, 1, 2, 3. Hormones.
Well, I was just going to say, because the woman has to, in this case, like, whoever's carrying the baby has to do all the work. In terms of carrying, in terms of delivery, in terms of body changes, and so...
And also hormones.
Hormones,
I always thought like postpartum was hormones.
Hormones on top of. I think it's true, it is.
Insane change of your
life. But also it's just like you suddenly go into extreme sleep deprivation.
Yes.
You have suddenly black and white change from like a certain life to now literally a totally different
focus.
And
if you're like the dad, it's like you're not getting the amazing breastfeed tit. Love.
Yeah, a lot of things with part of it is like immediately, like this might have been like anecdotal, just people talking in interviews, like the mother figure now is like focused so much on the baby that the man can feel like ignored, and then the mother's feeling like she imagined that the male figure was going to like help her and support her more. There's like this imbalance of like it changes the relationship, and I'm using like
so intense,
you know, mother male, these words
we're like being hetero right
because
now
because the study was obviously hetero, but we know these things.
And statistically, there's a lot of you.
There's tons.
This is happening a lot around the nation, around the world. There's so many heterosexual people. It's crazy.
But there's actually more gay people, especially in Toronto.
In general? Oh, yeah. Everyone in Toronto is gay.
Is gay.
And as we've said,
like, it's crazy.
And every guy that listens to the Huberman podcast is also gay. So, like, it's true. It's like everyone is gay because that's kind of everyone. Not everyone in Toronto is gay. Mitchell Moffitt thinks everyone's gay.
It was a joke, Craig.
But your gaydar is strong. It's good, but sometimes
you mean it's overreactive?
Okay,
or
question.
Precise.
I think gaydar is maybe a millennial term that like young people would be like, ugh, stupid term.
Fine, but they didn't have to, like, maybe it's because they didn't have to hide it in the same way.
No, I know. I'm just laughing because I was like,
skill.
I was like, when I think about me even having opinion on your gaydar, it's very 2010. It's like, yeah, that's actually like a really,
yeah, I don't,
it's like, it's
I don't
a very,
actually
like,
walk around
dumb,
like, using my gaydar.
But you used, like, you used to be like, I have such good gaydar. And I'd be like, he dies.
Because we were
topic.
At an age where everyone was just starting to come out, and it was very
but that's
much
what
like,
I mean.
That straight guy could actually be
yeah.
gay next year.
I'm saying, when I think about queerness, and now it's like saying that you have good gaydar is like really embarrassing.
Yeah, because it's also like the binaries don't exist
exactly.
in that.
Exactly. It's very like, what? Gay.
Anyway.
The worst kind, aka me. Okay, so this is about how... Okay, I've been watching the clock, and I've been like, it's 7:40. It's been the same time. What? And it's because I'm on a photo of my... I'm on a screenshot, is what it's called. And I'm like, oh my God, like, this has been the longest minute of my life. Like, sometimes when you do a podcast, time slows down. Mm. Okay, so this is about how, like, this one... climate researcher / she used to work for the British government thinks scientists are forced to be too blasé about climate change because of the way that science works. They're trying to do the most realistic predictions and rarely are they saying the worst case scenario.
Okay. Who's saying this?
He used to work for the British government in the environmental unit. And now he's come out to be like, he's starting to be a science communicator about climate change.
Interesting.
So he was saying a lot of the scientific process is about very much going, well, don't extrapolate that. Mm-hmm. Don't do. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is you get into these like political meetings and they're like, okay, well, we don't care. B, we don't really know what you're saying. And he's arguing that scientists should start going, this is the worst case scenario and start being a little hyperbolic.
The projections of the worst
case. Because when you mix your research with that research, it creates a pretty intense situation, but they're always going, well, we just found this.
Right. Which at the low end, here's where, like, let's be like the average of it. I don't know.
Yeah, which I think is important in some ways.
Is that's not the impression I have in terms of, like, I don't know. Obviously, it's important to have studies on, like, the overall media imprint on people, but I do think that the media takes and runs with the most extreme versions of things.
He's talking about policy making in government. Okay. He's talking about scientists going to government, not the media talking about a study. Okay. And so what he was saying was like, what has worked a lot recently to get change in the government in London, climate change, is that he thinks that London will be underwater by 2150.
Oh.
I was like, what? That is so soon.
Well, like, we won't be here.
No, but this is when you got to start thinking about your goddamn kids and your grandkids. Hello. Like, don't be selfish. No, we're talking about the next gen.
I don't live in London, girl.
No, 2150?
Yeah.
Okay, so that means that your niece or nephew is watching London underwater? Like, that is crazy. So the reason, though, it's like a little, you know, this... the politicians went, what? Why has no one said this?
I need to just like be clear that my niece or nephew probably aren't alive in 2150.
Okay, but unless
they're 130.
Their kids, we care about your grandkids. You'll care about your grandkids. Mm-hmm. They will be. Okay, anyways. Because the engineers built the Thames Barrier like half a century ago. So the way that the like barriers to the River Thames work, it can only deal with 5 meters of sea level rise.
Okay.
And so they're just like at the 2 degrees Celsius like limit. And what the IPCC thinks that by 2150, there'll be 10 meters of sea level rise. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's like well under the water. And his whole point was like, then maybe you should start thinking it because you could make a new barrier.
Right. Start those strategies now to prepare for it.
And then the politicians were like, wait, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, because it's like...
Because then you have a lot more time to even spread out those costs and not need to like... Yeah, it's like preventative versus... Well, it's not preventative to climate change, but it's preventative to like the city being destroyed.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, some of the studies aren't widely recognized and like that could be a high estimate of 10 meters. Like all these things, but it's like it's not going to happen that London will be underwater. Like those are the... And it was just interesting for me to be like, that's an interesting framework. You go into... the governments, because it's like, what are we going to do and sit around? It's like, no, we need to maybe scare them a little bit.
Yeah.
But it could happen.
London, get ready.
Yeah, and build a different barrier. Okay.
Break time, and then we're going to talk about YouTube.
Oh my God, it's going to be so embarrassing.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Study time.
So, study time, LOL. This is, you know, this is less ASAP science and more ASAP science as a whole. You know what
ASAP
I mean?
ASAP social science,
not even, because today we're going to be talking about just our own experience as, I just can't even say the word, our influencer.
we're science communicators.
But this is part of what we're going to be talking about today. There has been an obvious shift. I feel like having done this for over 10 years, I feel like it's the first time where I'm like looking down at the people below us in age and being like, okay, there's a whole new movement of influencers who grew up, who are unlike us, who like didn't have people before us, have people before them. And it's really interesting.
And I think we just thought it'd be fun to have an episode that's like a little different, switch things up. We're not coming with like research on this. It's our personal experience. And we thought it'd be fun to just like shoot the shit and chat about
I have never heard you say that.
Shoot the shit. On this literal podcast, you've called me out for that before.
No, what you do is you say in all the meetings, go, I'll shoot you an email. It's when you say shoot you an email. He's like, and then you're always like, if you shoot me an email, I'll shoot you an email. I'm always like, whoa, he's in business mode. I'm always just like giggling, like shoot you an email.
Wait.
Yeah. You have such business jargon.
And including shoot the shit.
Maybe well, no, like that shooting. That was, yeah, that is just a never before term of yours. So we are millennial. Okay, we are science communicators. We're trembling in our feet, but like we have to admit that the trajectory of what we have done has been influencer energy.
Yeah, I mean, obviously our entire generation, everyone who is a millennial and kind of started creating at that time, I feel.
Even that creator online.
Into influencers. But is everyone considered an influencer online, well, online now if you make content? You make content on the internet in thine year 2023,
yeah,
are you an influencer?
You mean like trying to make a comedy video?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're just posting your Thanksgiving beige meal, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, is that what you're talking about? Like, I'm like, yeah, not everyone.
But basically, everyone on TikTok is like making things to try and have random strangers watch it.
That's part of what I'm like, what I mean by there's been a shift. I think when you're on TikTok and you're making content, it's more influencer energy because it's like you're not having to think of a concept. It's not a photo. It's not.
Yeah. It's not like Instagram where you might just actually be like, my family gathering, my
if
birthday.
If you post to a reel that's not a millennial and Gen X like slideshow of your trip
with
somewhere
Faye
with really bad music, but you're actually posting a reel with a like, when millennials do blah or whatever, like you're an influencer. And that's all TikTok really is.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel like not everyone who posts content online is an influencer, but I think there are a lot more people who are quote unquote influencers than have ever before been.
So what inspired you? I'm going to interview you today.
Oh my God. What?
To be an influencer.
Okay. Well, we didn't know. We didn't know what that
we
was.
We were doing.
Yeah. So, well, especially me, you, you're the one who knew. But at that time it was a quote unquote YouTuber. And I think what's really become confusing for us now is when we're out, a lot of people come up, they come up to me, they're like, oh, you're dumb kid guy from TikTok. I'm like, no, I'm a science YouTuber. And they're like, what?
They're like,
and
what's
it's
that?
Like, what is happening? Yeah. So I do feel like YouTuber existed 11 years ago when we started.
Yeah.
Very lightly to the point, but to the point where we thought we were too late to do YouTube 11 years ago.
100%. When we started, I remember, because there was already like a few generations of like online people.
But like, who? Like Charlie Bit My Finger into Smosh?
No, because Charlie Bit My Finger was like pre-YouTube. I feel like that was like E-bomb's world. And like there were a lot of websites.
No, Charlie Bit My Finger was YouTube.
Sorry, but I mean it's of that era where it was just like a random video. It wasn't.
No, are you kidding?
It wasn't like Fred. It wasn't Fred who was like making a series.
No, but like Fred whenever was, YouTube. Okay, and we've been to a million. We'll get into this. YouTube activation events. Whenever there's like a bunch of marketing people and like 100 people who work at Visa coming in and YouTube wants to be like, where the future? They always start with Charlie Bit My Finger.
I'm not saying it wasn't a YouTube video. I'm saying that was part of a transition phase. And Charlie Bit My Finger was never a YouTuber.
No, sorry. But like, do we know that for a fact? I 100% bet Charlie is out somewhere
and then get ready with me as I go to the pub down in Bristol. And he ends every video like, I'm going to be reviewing the newest stouts at my local pub in Bristol. Beat my finger.
Like, he probably is doing that.
I hope he is.
He's honestly probably on a talk circuit of literally, he's an influencer. I bet he's on a talk circuit where he talks about the history of YouTube. I bet YouTube's like paid
is
him.
Is there a book called Charlie Bit My Finger?
Well, there's that new online book by the girl who you were, I think you were quoted in the one of her papers. That Taylor Lorenz.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She has a new book that's like all about what we're talking about today.
Okay, interesting.
Called like
Should have had her on the pod.
Yeah.
But what was I going to say? Oh, I was saying like, okay.
Who
I
was the first? So was Fred?
First generation is like Smosh and Fred and Ray William Johnson and maybe even like Phil DeFranco. I don't know.
Okay, like who's Ray William Johnson?
He was like a comedian. He has like dark hair that's kind of like spiky and out. And he would do like news bits or like
okay
and he yes. would like make fun yes. he would make a joke.
So you when you were starting ASAP Science thought, oh, all these guys are killing it, we're never gonna be like that.
Well, that maybe. Was generation one. Then generation two, what? I think was like Hannah Hart,
oh, Grace Helbig,
John and Hank Green had started earlier, but I feel like they started becoming more popular. Maybe had started SciShow at this point, I don't know.
Interesting, because they would have also like already, like, when we went to VidCon for the first time, which is, like, the thing they made, it was a thing already. So they'd already, like, done that, kind of?
Yeah, they were in it early, but then, obviously, those early days were, like, some people were just kind of making random videos, and it wasn't until Generation 2 that I think they kind of became faces of
YouTube. SciShow did exist. Veritasium did exist, and we were like, we're going to make science videos, but everyone's
but it was kind of
it.
Like, oh,
idea.
People have a million subscribers. Like, some people already had like 5 million subscribers, and it was like there had been like 3 or 4 years of people making content trying to be YouTubers.
That's
so it
crazy.
Felt like, well, we're 4 years behind.
Oh my god! So like when we're like, we've been doing it for 11.5 years. Like if we were to ask like Derek from Veritasium, he'd be like 15 years.
Probably, yeah.
Because I remember
I don't
showing,
know if he was... I think maybe he'd only done it a year or two more.
I remember, like, because Mitch definitely came up with the... like, girl, if it weren't for Mitch, I would be teaching children. I would be teaching high school students biology, which sometimes I'm like, I think I might still end up doing that soon. But, like, that... I would be a high school biology / visual art teacher, and my life would be amazing, too. But you were definitely the impetus of like, have you heard of YouTube? And I was like, no, I'm too busy like going to Kanye West concerts and dressing like an idiot. But anyways, I remember after you telling me about YouTube and then in teacher's college in a class putting on a Veritasium video and being oh my God, like this is a thing. That's what helped me be like, oh, I could make a YouTube channel about science because I'm in teacher's college. I'm a teacher and now I'm using a YouTube video by someone who's teaching science.
So we would have been, what, like 22 or 23 when we have started it?
Yeah.
Something like that? Because the interesting thing about... I mean, that isn't super young. Obviously, it's young.
It's not that young now.
What do you mean now?
To start influencing.
Oh, like some people start...
some people start influencing at 14.
In vitro.
Yeah.
In vitro. In vivo.
In vivo, sorry, yeah. But yeah, we were 22, 23.
And I was trying to say, like, the weird thing is it's of our friends, like, I'm sure some might be listening or people our age. Like, no one our age was really consuming YouTube in that way.
Yeah.
None of our friends. I shouldn't say no one.
Okay, our group of friends to this day don't know what we do. And they don't...
We just have one friend who loves shorts. YouTube shorts.
Oh my god.
And so it's maybe like, how did you stumble into that?
It was because she was like, I don't want to be on Instagram or TikTok. So she said it there. But okay, also our one
friend...
She
literally was like, it's so bad that it makes me not use it too much. Yeah. And it's bet like TikTok I'll use too much.
We're getting into that when the influencers of now, it's like, if you're a YouTube short influencer, which we have met, get help. No, I'm kidding. But we've met some and it's like, oof. But our one friend once came to our office, like this office is like all about science, and saw our book and was like, what? I thought you guys made like vlog videos. And I was like, what? Like he just like, it was like so annoying. I was like, you just thought we did that? Anyways, we should get to that though. But we like the word influencer didn't exist then.
Right.
And we were YouTubers. But when we went to the airport, we would have to lie and say we were teachers. Because if you said YouTuber, they would like arrest you because they'd be like, what is that?
Yeah, they would literally be like, that's illegal. What, you make money from this company that's American?
And now when we go to the airport, we're like, we're YouTubers. We're like, high five. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like,
actually, the amount of times that a customs border has been like, are you ASAP Science?
Because they're men. And that's the people who watch YouTube videos. I'm kidding. There's obviously women too, but... Predominantly
it is very
for us,
masculine,
man.
Mask for mask. Vibes.
But I feel like we I feel like it would have been way harder for me to do it if I had to do it now because of what being an influencer. Like, either would have been harder or easier, but there's something about being an influencer.
Wow, it's very insightful, Greg.
No.
It either would have been harder or easier.
Sorry, easier in the sense that I could see myself just being like, oh, I would do a TikTok because it's so easy, whereas, like, I can't edit and, like, all those things that you could do. But harder in the sense that I do think it is, like, really embarrassing to start trying to be an influencer right now. Like, it's hard because there's so many people and it feels...
And it's so much... Yeah, at the time, it was kind of like we could get away with it without our friends knowing. So yes, if it was, like, a failure or if it was
nothing
bad,
happened. It wasn't like, oh, you remember you tried to be an influencer. Okay, this is exactly what happened to me recently on the beach. I was like, so true. I was like, oh, yeah, and he's... that guy... it's like, yeah, and that guy. Like, he's like, yeah, trying to be an influencer. And, like, all three of my friends I was with audibly at the same time that went... Aww. And then laugh because it was like it is so vulnerable and endearing in some ways, but
it has the term has so much baggage, like
but for good reason.
Yeah for good reason, and it is because so many people try to capitalize on it in a way that is super cringy, super inauthentic, and are just doing it to make money, right? Or just doing it to be famous.
Yeah.
So I think
you,
like,
can sniff them out.
Yeah, it's always, I think it probably started as an innocuous term. Is that the right word? Like, it was used as like, oh, there's this generation of influencers, like, and even YouTube started using it as like, these people can influence their audiences,
but
connect
then
you with their brand, a brand. Yeah. And like that was kind
influencers
of
influencers, very business vibes. But then they would always be like, you're content creators.
Yes.
And then they'd be like, you're creators, because that does feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Creator has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, there's always been. And now, I mean, it's not to jump too far forward, but it is interesting now to see the discourse that surrounded this. Like, we were talking about this the other day with some people who like work in traditional film, and I do feel like there was a huge barrier for a long time. A lot of like online creators trying to make TV shows that would flop, and like it's just been a hard time. But I think the playing field has evened more. Of course, there's still like A-list celebrities. Of course, being a digital person is like, you have a bit of a smudge on your name, I think, if you're trying to make it in the traditional world. But more and more you see like, oh, there's been some successful examples of people like a Troy Sivan that's gone from YouTube to music.
Or but Troy Sivan's is interesting because he completely left.
That's
like
true.
I bet a lot of people don't know, but he used to be like,
and I haven't watched this movie, but know how there's like that A24 movie of those guys who like make pranks or something on, like,
yeah, they were on
got
YouTube.
Like critically acclaimed. Yeah, like, yeah. I don't know their YouTube channel. I haven't watched the movie, but like remember hearing about it in a way that was like, oh, these YouTubers have made like a critically acclaimed horror film.
Yeah, that would not have happened 10 years ago.
And
people
wouldn't have even given it a chance. It probably wouldn't have gotten funded. So I think there's a little bit more. It's hitting the point where people are just like, who cares? If you are creative, like, it doesn't actually matter where you start.
But the platforms have changed. Like, YouTubers, I think, are still embarrassing and aren't getting that much acceptance into the mainstream unless you're like Emma Chamberlain. I feel like TikTok has
be the right person.
Weirdly like skipped the line.
Yes, because TikTok,
it's crazy. Now
is more real and personalized, and celebrities adopted it like on their own accord.
YouTube had to like pay Will Smith to like do what would he do? He would like hold a drone and like jump off a building. It was like crazy.
Yeah.
And like pay Kevin Hart to like sit in ice bath.
There was truly a time when YouTube was like desperately at the feet of A-list celebrities being like, please. Excuse me.
But they paid. They gave them money.
And they'd like make documentary films with
and
them.
And all the like us content creators would be at like would be like at the like
money.
Event. They'd be like at the events, like all especially the like science communicators like us, like so high on our horse. We'd be at the events where like they've flown in like Kevin Hart and Will Smith and paid them all this money and be like,
well, at least they could monetize our video about anal sex. Like, God, like they don't care. About
like we all got so like up in arms, but then now I'm like, well, it didn't work, YouTube. Like,
it really
didn't work. You can't. YouTube is so weird. I was thinking of even calling this episode YouTube. Like, is it even relevant? Because it's been around for so long. It is extremely pervasive. There's Mr. Beast who it's like every time I see a number beside his video, I'm like,
like
I don't even understand. It makes me like, I feel like I'm like, okay, so I'm in a dream. Pinch. Like, this can't be reality. It's like it can have so much influence, yet no influence at all.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Really fascinating.
It's hard to understand what that means. Like, and for people listening, if you don't like consume YouTube content, it's just weird that within its own realm, like people like like someone like Mr. Beast will get like 50 to 100 million views on a video in days. That's like, if a TV show could do that nowadays, that's like bigger than peak American Idol.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like on a video of one man who's just like, obviously he has. Like
and it's like, stuff, it's like he's trapped on an island with his friends. Like it's so funny. It's
yeah.
Like,
he's recreating Fear Factor. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, yeah. He is recreating Fear Factor. Wow. Fear Factor is a model for these boys. But like it is fast. I remember like recently we were just like at a like cottage weekend with, again, our friends who don't know anything about YouTube. And I was like, I like mentioned Mr. Beast. They were like, what is that? And I was like, okay, I'm just going to like show you like, I'm just going to show you the thumbnail page of YouTube. And it was like, they were stoned. And I just was like, I could see them just being like what? Because they're obviously comparing it to like the Katy Perry music video or right. something that they know. And they're like, that's from a week ago. And like, obviously they're literally thinking of their pop girlies and wanting them to get good views and being like, who? And then also the thumbnail, it looks like Barney. Like they were like, it's for kids. It's a kid show. I'm like, well, it's not really like adults love it.
Cause there are like, especially dudes I know that like love Mr. Beast who are 40. Like
that's,
I'll like crazy. Go to the barber or yeah. I'll like go to an environment where I'm just like with somebody fully my age. It's usually a straight guy. And they're just like, oh, yeah, I love Mr. Beast. And I'm like, you know Mr. Beast?
Yeah, I totally thought it was Barney. But now I'm
there
like,
there are
not
definitely
Barney.
A lot of kids who watch it.
Yeah.
It is like kid-friendly content. It's just kind of like sensational, loud. Hey, okay, today we're going to do something crazy. And like that vibe. But like so is a lot of TV. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of television that's just like flashy and grabbing
So I
attention.
Wonder like if what I'm confused about is like, okay, is YouTube for kids in general and then everyone just sort of ages out of it? It
I
feels like that kind of
think so
but then no that's a ridiculous
YouTube,
statement.
It's just a different kind of platform because in a weird way it's actually more similar to Netflix than it is to TikTok is more similar to Instagram and Snapchat
yes.
and Twitter. Like I know they're all different, but like YouTube is like a place you
wow.
go and you have to decide what you're gonna watch.
That's very true.
And so I think like in the same way, obviously Netflix has had a massive cultural impact and they've managed to in the same way as like even maybe Apple TV and like Amazon Prime have made shows that have been considered critically acclaimed. That is where YouTube has actually failed, I think.
Yeah.
I can't think of one example where people were like, I'm going on YouTube to watch
oh
this
my
thing.
God. Okay, so also YouTube.
But at the same time, it's weird because if a Mr. Beast video can get 100 million views, like that's like, I don't think that many people are watching The Morning Show on Apple.
No, I know. Like, I know, it is crazy.
And so, and not that show's critically acclaimed.
Like, everyone knows who Mr. Beast is now, kind of, like
it's,
in
he's
a way.
Famous. Yeah, it's
happening. But like not in a way where people would care, but they know who he is.
It depends on what like circle you're in.
Yeah.
Or like what.
Sorry. Obviously, like there's like a kid
it's
right
like
now who's
like. Anyone
like. No, there's a kid like screaming.
In the car with their parents being like, that's Travis
like, yeah, like driving off a cliff.
I care. Like all those clips of people. Being like, wow, it's so great Taylor Swift has made what's his name like relevant.
Travis
world.
Kelce
yeah, have you
or
seen
whatever.
Those videos?
Yeah, and then,
the straight guy's like, what? He's like the most famous football player.
That's so smart. Everyone talks about how hot he is, but I keep looking at him. I'm like, nah.
I literally haven't seen a single picture. Like,
he looks like the think of like army man. Like someone's like a man in the army.
When you said that, I pictured toy soldiers. Remember that?
Literally
movie?
That. He looks like a toy soldier.
But they're kind of scary. And
exactly.
Thick.
You're nailing it.
Oh, really?
He's scary. He's thick. He's tall. He looks Botoxed. He's like, everyone's like, I'd climb
that
like
is
a
toy
tree.
Soldier.
They're like, she's finally getting that dick from a hot. Like everyone's so thirsty for him. But I'm like, of course, I wouldn't like say no. But like, it's not like the type of hunk I'm thinking of. Like,
okay.
Anyways. So, yeah, like, I feel like YouTube as a company has, it's run by all these millennials, all these people who want influence. They want it, like, it's interesting when everyone we've met at YouTube has been super cool. They all know, like, they all, like, loved the movie Moonlight.
Right,
and, like,
yes.
And it's so.
Which, actually, never mind. I know you know the answer to that question. Never
what?
Mind, keep going. I was what? Like, that is an A24 movie. That was their first movie they produced.
Oh, no, there were other ones they did,
no,
too.
They
that
didn't,
the first
that's the
one?
First one they made.
Okay, well, that A24 is a great example. Mm-hmm. Like, people are more interested in A24 than like YouTube, obviously, critically. But I like what YouTube would do is they would have these like weird weekends where they would like bring all these YouTubers together and we'd obviously get invited because they'd have like pillars and they'd be like, science. Mm-hmm. Oh, these are the guys killing it in science. So we'd have to go and be around like Emma Chamberlain and like,
right, like every other category, like, but because we were popular in science, yeah, we were with like people who were actually way,
yeah,
more,
like it was like people actually like. And then I just remember once, and then they would bring in people to talk to us, to like inspire us, and they brought in the director of Moonlight.
Oh, did they? Oh, I do remember. That,
yeah. And yeah, it was like, well, it was Cardi B too, and it was so funny. She, like they were like, "Do you have any advice for all these people?" And she was like, "Don't pay your taxes." She was so funny. She didn't know where she was. She was getting paid like $50,000 for an hour of her time. She got like, you know, escorted and sat
kidding?
On a chair.
I think it was more than that.
Like, okay, we don't know the actual numbers, but she was getting paid, obviously. And like, it was the height of her like original sort of like pop off. Mm-hmm. She sat next to like, I don't know, Lily Singh or someone who had like a series of questions. She had no idea. She was like, where
like,
am
who
I?
Are these
and they,
people?
Who are these people? And they were trying to give her context. And they were like, do you have any finance? Like a lot of people here are starting new businesses for their thing. Do you have any? She's like, I don't know. But I just like, she's like, I'm all for Bernie and I definitely love tax, but I'm having to pay a lot of tax right now. And I'm just thinking, what are some ways you can get around not paying tax?
Because she obviously made so much money so fast.
Yeah, she was probably just
freaking, probably like, yeah, we're going to take exactly. 50 million of that.
Yeah. And she was like, I do believe in Bernie. And like, she just had this hilarious, and it was like, hey, I'm like, these people here don't even know who Bernie Sanders is. But no, the main disconnect for me was the Moonlight one where they said, do you have any favorite YouTube videos? And he was like, I'm really he's like, one of my favorite things to do, he was like, was put on like, it was like old French like Godard clips. He's like, they have about like 47 views.
Everyone's
but it's like
mouth
it was
the
like
audience
people were as I was like obviously like so enamored with this person, but like truly, like I don't know, like the Dolan twins were asleep beside me, or like the Logan Paul was like
right
hungover, like, but it was like YouTube's trying mm-hmm. so hard, but then
to have that cultural bent,
yeah.
To it,
but the
yeah.
people who are all here, I'm like, it's literally,
and because like
literally Logan Paul was beside us, and
yeah.
It's like,
but
that
like you
guy,
said, all the employees at YouTube
yes,
were of
are
that kind of
like millennial,
yeah. And we're like, oh,
we
want to
like media,
we're interested in art,
yeah.
And we're interested in like cool things, and we hope YouTube can be like a space where we make like people make interesting content.
So the influencer of that time, though, they could never, it could never escape, and it still arguably hasn't from like the Logan Pauls. Like YouTube mm-hmm. couldn't ever escape the influence on their thing, and influencers were always these people who were, again, going above and beyond, making crazy thumbnails mm-hmm. and that's still the case.
To be fair, that is like the people who are the most popular on TikTok are not necessarily like making artful stuff, right? Like
yeah
like
no,
when
it's
you
true.
And I'm not, this is not to disparage anyone, like but you just know how like, what were their name, like Charlie D'Amelio and stuff, that when they were like so popular, and Noah Beck. Like there was a time, I don't know if they're still the most popular, but they were just like being cute and dancing,
yeah,
and like doing silly
it's the
things.
Same idea.
And they became the face of the platform,
yeah,
in the early days.
Yeah.
And I think it, like, they, it's not like they,
it's
were
the same.
Like,
wow, you influencers then and now. It,
but
it is similar.
For some reason, I think TikTok just like became so much more culturally pervasive.
It's wild. Like, do you know that like Tube Girl or whatever? She's like on
I
the
keep
tube.
Seeing references to it, but I don't know.
Well,
what
it's just
it
like
is.
I just think about how, okay, like for a YouTuber to like go to Paris Fashion Week, it truly took Emma Chamberlain. And I think at this point she's like, is she even a YouTuber? Like, I don't know.
Right.
And even her, it was like, it's groundbreaking. She's herself. And edits well. Like, it just like crazy. It's like, wow, like she really is. I also think we have to, like, a lot of this did start, I think, with the Kardashians. I don't know enough about them, but like, yeah, they were kind of like the first, like, we're just influencers and we're gonna own it, we're, yeah, not gonna have like a skill, quote unquote. But Fashion Week, it feels like a place where like there's a lot of pretension, and I know that it's been a struggle, but obviously the Kardashians are like all over it, and Emma Chamberlain's all over it, mm-hmm. And then there's this Tube Girl who like truly was on like the literal like tube in London, and she like, okay, Gen Z, I've learned this, they take their photos at 0.5,
like at
one,
the zoomed out one,
yeah,
yeah.
So she puts it at 0.5 and she slows the song
like
down.
Their selfies, or they,
their selfies,
or do they,
and
do
their front,
yeah, because I heard that they do,
I heard
the
they
front
do the front
and
then
like
they
this.
Flip it. This is so embarrassing. They do the 0.5, then they go like this, and then they take the,
but
the
look
photo.
How freaking long my arm looks.
Mine actually just went to my screen.
No, that can't be right.
You look like a Gen Z. You, no, but you're not posting a selfie.
Oh.
And oh no, sorry. You have to get your arm out and you're going from
like cut my arm out. But anyways, how can I get it out?
So she does, I think it's the 0.5 and then she does the song slowed down, so it's probably easier to mouth. So then, and then because of the way the tube moves, her hair goes back and she has that like different songs like and she like moves her hand around and it looks kind of like, oh, this is like a modern music video that she's just made on the tube, which is okay. Kind of funny because she's like looking hot and all the yeah. songs are like hot and she like she can break a song right now and it'll go to the top of the charts. And so she did that, I swear to God, like in the middle of September. I'm sure there's been articles that would be like it was August, but whatever. And then this Paris Fashion Week, they're like Dior's like she's in the
That's
thing
insane.
At Dior doing her little thing, and everyone's, and it's like that. She skipped the YouTubers are at home frothing at the mouth for that.
That's fair.
She skipped the line.
I think what has happened is it's a combination of internet culture becoming so pervasive and brands finally being like willing to play a little bit of that game. Like, they don't think she's gonna be famous next year, and she's gonna be like, I'm not saying she couldn't be. She could be become like, a fashion model, whatever. But they're not using her being like, this girl's gonna be an artful, whatever. That's gonna be like a trendsetter, and we're leaning into her. Their brand is finally being able to be like, this happened this month. Everyone's talking about her. We want attention.
Use
Tube Girl.
Yeah.
And I think the reason TikTok has so much power in that sense is it is so immediate. It's like, what is popular today?
Yeah. People YouTube who make YouTube videos, it's like, coming out in a week or two, maybe.
Yeah. After you've and made that has its own benefit. It's the same reason like a Netflix show isn't going to have Tube Girl can do something today and be somewhere tomorrow.
Tube Girl.
I've never even seen her.
I'll show you it. But, you're going to be like, does it?
But you know what I mean? Like a Netflix series has to like build itself. And a YouTube is a shorter version of a Netflix series.
Okay. So when we were an influencer of then, which I will admit, being a millennial that had to do YouTube is really embarrassing because we had to do weird shit. Like we didn't, no one was before us. Like I feel like all that challenge shit. Like,
all the what?
Like cinnamon challenge.
Oh, yeah. We like literally came up in the cinnamon challenge.
We didn't do cinnamon challenge.
Oh, close
but
we would be
like, sniff the shirt challenge, the science of scent. Like, we would do shit like that because it was like, well, that's what you do.
It was truly challenges.
Which is still what we do. We still follow the trends of YouTube and try to design our channel so that people
will watch
it.
But they're so aged now to look back
it's
on those.
Like, I actually don't think you could pay me to watch those videos.
Sometimes
that are still
I
on
think
the internet.
Should we
take them down,
hide all those old videos? They're not problematic or weird. It's just like sometimes I'm like they are probably so cringy.
There's like a video of us like I swear to God it was like 3 years in like making Soylent and talk. Well, this is the reason why I think we should take them down. I'm like that's really interesting. Soylent was really interesting.
Yeah,
and it actually that,
I'm not
the
thinking
content
about that
is
one.
But I'm like. I believe I was in charge of editing that video. And it's like, I actually think there's probably like 10 seconds of silence. And then I'm like, so today we're going to try Soylent. Like literally just like, I was like today. So you, oh my God. Oh my God. You have to add water. Oh my God. Mitch, cut the water. And then it's like cut, like pouring water and being like, Soylent is from the movie Soylent Green. And it's a way for us to get all of our nutrients.
I want
to
go watch
like
those.
And essential amino acids, which are building blocks of life in this thing. And then like probably a really bad animation of truly horrible animation of amino acids. And then like you being like, glug, glug, yuck. It tastes so, you know what I mean? But, like that was like kind of what other people were doing.
But we were just like a worse version trying to add science to it.
Yeah, but also I even mean like the editing was slower. Like the reason people like Emma Chamberlain is she was like a
snippy,
fast
zappy,
editor.
Yeah.
Like now we're on TikTok, like everything has just sped up.
But what I will say,
what is the things you want to delete?
Oh,
no, that's a good question.
No,
what do you want to delete?
You're right, that looking back is like cute, and I have no shame for any of the videos we made.
Oh, I do.
I guess I do.
Oh, wow.
Not like
no,
not like deep
stronger.
Shame, but kind of embarrassment. Like we I mean, also, I'm not like a funny person. I'm not like a comedian. So like there's been times when we've been doing like sketches and skits and stuff on our second channel that I'm sure is like really cringy to watch. And maybe even was a little cringy at the time. We've always been like, but we're just like kind of having fun. We're teaching people. It's not, we're not actually trying to be so funny.
And like the stuff I'm like, I wouldn't delete that. We both have like different ones that we delete.
Maybe. I haven't gone back and watched, but every now and then I'm like, you know, maybe I'm going to pursue music more seriously. And then I'm like, I have to delete all of those things if I want to be able to do that. I don't know why.
No, that's not the way it is anymore.
You don't think? I just think like what I would want to create as a musician is so much more serious.
No, but then that's inauthentic. Okay,
it's not in a, it's wow. not, I am a very serious person.
No, I'm just, and I feel, no, you're not.
I'm not?
No, you are not. That is, you what does are that not. Mean? You are not a very serious person at all.
Wait,
Mitchell
tell
Ryan
me
Moffitt.
What you mean.
You are like T-H Philly. T-H-I-L-L-Y. You're Philly.
That's not true.
Mitch, look at your, you literally are. I think you've been told at some point that.
No, I just take things
more,
seriously.
Music is also, what is so interesting about music is it's true. It's like, okay, an Adele album, I'm going to sob. She's fucking hilarious. Music is more serious. It's a more emotional state. I do not think you need to delete
but
it.
But like,
I think that both can speak. Like, if you make the music you're capable of, it won't matter.
That because people will go back and be like, I guess it's,
no, that's not.
It's getting old enough that at least it's far enough away. Yeah, it's like he was a child.
Yes.
That he was being
Troye
Sivan
hasn't taken down his things.
He might have taken some down.
No, I don't.
I wouldn't be surprised if his management was
okay,
like, let's
fine.
Sift
if you
through.
Get to like Troye Sivan's level, we'll think about it. But I'm saying like it's not like you don't need to preemptively take them.
Yeah,
back.
Fair.
It's
okay.
Not
no, no,
gonna,
I wouldn't. I just I want to watch back one day and be like,
but
you
okay,
know, there's
millennial,
some embarrassing
like
acting.
I think because it was like I wish I had a bit more foresight as a millennial. Like if we had had a decade of people doing it before us, I think I would have been able to be like, okay, I'm not gonna do Soylent challenge,
but
I'm just gonna
I guess,
teach about Soylent.
The challenge is and always was, and we'll probably look back on this era and feel the same way. Like as science communicators, we're like we have to adapt to whatever is culturally relevant, right? That I mean, every influencer is actually trying to do that, but it feels more honorable when you're a scientist person to be like, okay, but this I'm trying to actually make people learn something, so to like package it in a way that is digestible, makes sense. Okay,
I can't think
people
of
people are doing challenges,
of, yeah,
on YouTube. We're gonna do that. Oh, now people are doing short form content, and it's really accessible. Okay, how do we make science stuff there? So I feel like we've always kind of followed the structural trends.
It's true. And that's what I mean is that being a millennial is hard because it's like we had to grow up in a time when the structural trends were so embarrassing.
But they weren't embarrassing at the time. I guess they were embarrassing at the
time. No, they were embarrassing at the time. But that's what was happening online was embarrassing things. I feel bad, but that's our peers were embarrassing.
And it's okay. No, people have talked about this. It's because early days internet, it was like it was nerdy people. It was people who were not as socially like connected and wanted to make stuff on the internet until it became cool. TikTok's at a place where like not immediately, but when it was musically, it was like people felt like it was more of a community. And then it was like all the cool kids started coming in who were like really attractive and had good fashion. And like that changed the platform. Hmm. So I feel like we were kind of on
the
YouTube.
Not cool.
Yeah. When it was a lot of people who there were actually a lot of really popular gay creators. At a time when you'd think like, oh, it's kind of interesting that 15 years ago, like almost all of the males that I can think of were not all, but a lot.
Oh my God. It was like transgressive. Now I'm like, it was punk.
Yeah. And a bunch of them were trans and have come out as trans.
No, I said transgressive.
Oh,
but
sorry.
But then it's like now it's actually the opposite of that. It's like scary right wing.
Yeah. Because it became cool. And so it became a place where like people wanted to capitalize on for money as well. But I think the early days, it was just kind of like nerdy kids or geeky kids. Not all nerdy, but you know what I mean? Like just having fun and being cute, and then it developed out of that culture first.
And gay guys love to be famous.
People still do.
Gay guys do want to like figure out how to be famous.
Yeah, for sure.
But I do feel like they're that's a really interesting point to be like YouTube was like a transgressive space in the past, whereas it's totally not now. It is like in some ways we have ContraPoints who is like, in my opinion, the, like savior of YouTube.
Yeah,
and, like,
there's corners of YouTube.
But in general, it's the opposite of that. And if that's what it came out of, which is really interesting, I would love to read that book.
Oh, I well, you said that. Taylor Lorenz.
No, I'm just like, I hope that her...
I think, I mean, obviously there's always been a breadth of different creators, but even like John and Hank Green were kind of just like nerdy guys who were like, we like science, we're making videos. Like,
yeah, but then who also are like the most business savvy people I've ever met.
But that's like not taking away from the fact that they like fit the category of what a lot of early creators were. Yes, you know, yeah, it doesn't mean that you couldn't be interested in business and couldn't like capitalize on it. Like, there are a lot of smart people who started a lot, like Smosh started a long time ago. They've had a huge business for decades.
Yeah.
You know? But it was just like people who put themselves on the internet were different then. Now,
Whereas everyone puts themselves on the internet. Yeah. That's so true. It's like you learn how to do
that. You had to be like a special kind of person to do it.
Yeah. I don't mean that in a negative way.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I ever would have. I don't think I ever would have watched YouTube except for like Ariana Grande music videos if I hadn't met you.
But now it's truly like everyone is almost expected to put themselves on the internet.
Yeah.
And it's just about like, that is the world we live in.
Ooh, okay. I wanted to ask this earlier. Now I'm like, I want to know what the future will be like if this is all going to crash as we all talk about like mental health issues with this. But okay, when you were, okay, let's picture like 4 years into YouTube when it was like our channel was going crazy and it was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
What would you have predicted the future would have been of YouTubers / influencers
then
in 2023? Like, what would you think of then? Like, do you think you had a prediction? Did you think everyone was on the up and up? Did you think Grace Helbig was going to be like the next late night host? Did you think?
No, I think it like, not to say I like knew what was going to happen, but I feel like it's followed a pretty, like the TikTok part of it, I never would have predicted, but I think the trajectory of YouTube, like that creators would just be like, because when we started, not that long before we started, it was like a milestone when the first person hit 1 million subscribers. And I remember in university, I was part of this competition called like the best job in the world, right? Where I like submitted to like, you had to submit a video to like apply to this, work on this island in Australia. And it was like a viral campaign around the world. And my video for that got 100,000 views. And I remember at the time, at the time, like this was like 2009, that felt like 100 million people have seen that video. Like it, that was like a really, really big number. Of course, obviously it was like very localized, like lots of people in our community in Guelph were watching it and sharing it. And then everyone involved in that competition was probably watching those videos.
You're Dear Evan Hansen.
But you know what I mean? But so my point is,
that's why you also want to be a YouTuber. You've got that weird taste of that.
Maybe, yeah. But
Yeah,
that's fair. But it wasn't, they uploaded that video, not me. Like I submitted.
No, I know, but you still saw what could happen.
Yeah. And
then you just were like, the numbers just got more and more.
It's like the first person hits 10 million and this, like, then like Mr. Beast hits 100 million and it's like
subscribers.
Benchmark just keeps and always has just been trending up. I'm not saying it goes forever, but it's like when it comes to talking about traditional TV and stuff, I was just like, I do think this will just become more and more pervasive. Like the next big star will outpace whoever's the biggest now. They'll look huge in comparison because like, and some people have made it through the 1% or whatever of creators, you know, whether it's the Paul brothers, even though they're not really as pervasive right now, but like some people, their names make it through the whole way.
Yeah.
But like someone's going to come who will Trisha be Paytas. Bigger than Mr. Beast at some point. Yeah. I think.
Interesting.
Maybe it's different because TikTok has come. Maybe Mr. Beast is the ceiling, but like
for YouTube,
maybe, I don't know, but
that's dark,
but I don't know. Like,
yeah, no, no.
Maybe there's someone else who comes in a month hits 100 million
subscribers. So you always thought that was the case.
It just seemed like the way it was going. I didn't obviously know if it was going to happen.
No, no, but that's interesting. I think that's like what I was like curious. Because I think I was always much more skeptical of YouTube's impact. And I still think it's interesting that they can have, like Mr. Beast can have 100 million subscribers and still be kind
of. I think there's obviously a ceiling. And I think a lot of these social media companies are panicking. There's a lot of competition. I think they're still like not necessarily profitable and they're like desperate to be like, okay, we gotta like get in all these markets and make
sometimes
it so
I'm like, okay, y'all are like, wow, we got the new CEO coming in, he's a genius. I'm like, how the fuck is this shit not profitable? Do you know what I mean? I'm like, I think that means y'all made a bunch of mistakes.
Well, I think it's because it just costs so much money to
but
rent.
I'm just like, well, I don't know. Yeah, I've never taken business 101, but I thought you're supposed to make money. Like, I just can't believe. I'm like, oh, YouTube? Like,
You have to be profitable. Stop telling us you're not profitable. And if you aren't profitable, then why am I listening to any of you talk? Like Netflix, it's like, you mean you didn't make any money when we all gave you $10 bubble. A month for my whole life?
Yeah, no, there's a weird bubble of like, and obviously with like Twitter or whatever, like potentially collapsing, it's like, will all this, what will happen to all these social media when they realize they can't make enough money to make them profitable?
And they always, like, it's interesting. I think you're saying that growth thing. It's like, yeah, that was the case for YouTube. And if Mr. Beast is the ceiling, that's obviously existentially scary for them. They want the next Mr. Beast to happen next month.
Yeah, because we're also seeing it happen just with like the conversations of the world, like how we're like, we can't live in a society that demands constant growth.
Yeah,
like, yeah, it's fun and it's cool in some ways, but at a certain point it's just like, it's destroying everything. That like actual real companies are destroying the planet, these digital companies are destroying our brains, and it's just like, it can't keep going this direction. It has to kind of collapse.
That's the scary TikTok thing, because now everyone just loves TikTok, but it's just the next iteration that's shorter and dumber and more pervasive.
I don't know what happens because actually recently I've been like, I'm really bored of TikTok. I just wanted to give me more educational content. Oh, me
too. I'm actually bored of it, but I'm saying like of all
or
of them.
Or it's just like,
it's the most like,
I love when someone talks for like 3 minutes about something interesting.
Okay, yeah, see, I don't. I think it's going to be because we share Aesop Science and we need different
TikToks.
But I think my point is like TikTok, when I see the icon, I'm like, fun. But when I see the other icons, I'm like, not fun. Dark.
I mean, I watch a lot of YouTube videos, to be honest. Like, I have Alan Watts on play on you. And you know what? I just think YouTube is really fun. So is TikTok. But there's something, actually, this can happen on TikTok too, but I found a channel I've just in the last week become obsessed with. You know that series we watch, the guy in New York who like
John,
what's that called?
How To with John Wilson.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, he has like a very specific point of view, right? Yes, like in the way he talks. This person's obviously inspired by him. It's like that style, but what he does, and it's only recently he landed on this like format of a video, because I was going back through his videos to see how many he had.
That's so YouTube. They're like, try everything until it works.
Yeah. And then, but then I'm like, I actually love these videos. What it is, it's just called like the main idea is like unremarkable places. And then it'll be like in Zelda Ocarina of Time. And he'll just like go to like really odd spaces in that video game. And it obviously is like has a huge impact for people because it's nostalgic. Yeah. But they're like, it talks about video game design, and he'll just be like, this space, it's like liminal spaces, like spaces that
are. Yeah, that's cool.
And it's like, he'll just talk for like 5 minutes in each space while he's just walking around the video game showing you. And I'm like, it's very John Will.
And that's also very YouTube. Like, they always have said that their thing is, no, we're not going to give you the Mr. Beast. Our thing is that if you want what you want, we have it. Which is
like an extremely niche interest. Yeah. But the videos are getting like hundreds of thousands of views now.
Oh, wow.
Because it's like, so many people have played these video games, and now we can all go back, and it's kind of weird to go back to something you've played like hundreds of times in my case,
and then see
something and be like, wait, that is really weird, and I've never noticed that, and this like one little corner of the map is so bizarre, why did they do it this way, or this space only exists because they have to design it in a cool way, or he shows like these weird loading screens I've never noticed before, and it was just like, it's not like fast rush, it's not whatever, he's just like talking, giving kind of astute observations that connect with like metaphors to like the meaning of life and like designing in general. And I was like, this is so fun. And all the comments are like, I've not come across a series I've loved.
But that's
so
what
much.
That is YouTube. You know what I mean?
That's like, what I that think YouTube's YouTube. Greatest strength.
Yeah.
Is. It's I like think it's TikTok so niche. Can do that as well.
Yeah.
But YouTube makes it easier to be like, I actually am like, I really want to watch all this person's videos now. Yeah. The ones that are related to like the video games I like.
God, I don't know what's going to happen, because I just don't have faith in any of this stuff. And I never have, but I'm still like, I've worked in it forever. But I do feel a little like, I was always skeptical, and I guess it's sometimes easier, we're going to end soon, but easier to be skeptical. But I was like, I was right about all this shit. Like, in the sense that I was like, these people are corporations, they're evil. And there was a time where I think you were sipping the Kool-Aid a little more. And I think it's obviously easier to like think a corporation's evil, because like hashtag they probably are. But it is interesting, because I know there was a time where we thought YouTube was like truly the future.
Like the bastion of light in the,
And it's so not. And I think that's like the same thing with
TikTok. But that's a lot to expect of any one thing. I'm not saying it doesn't have crazy
faults. No, but I feel like people are doing like, watching the way that, like, even I just said, I love talk. Like, I listened to the Rosie O'Donnell podcast and she was just like, I love TikTok. It's just like, don't say that. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it's like for a lot of people, TikTok's the first time they've had to deal with like a true obsession with a social media platform because they didn't love Instagram.
Yeah,
like,
it's TikTok has most people's really imagination.
And it's like, this is bad. Like this feeling is bad. Yeah. You're being brainwashed by like entertainment and it's bad. And it's like, it's
but
always
don't you
bad.
Think it's always been like people would have said that about plays and books and TV when it was first.
I don't know. You always
radio.
Say that, and I'm like, I don't know if that's true.
It is true. I've
There's
seen
no
a
way,
montage of people complaining about new generations. Like it would be like a newspaper in the 1840s. That's like, oh, these kids these days, and they're obsessed with their little games, and it's taking their attention away from everything that's important.
What the
of,
newspaper games?
I don't know what they did in those days. And okay, like, but 1890, it's like someone's made a montage of everyone being like,
okay,
this
that's
new
fine.
Generation's
that's fair.
Lazy. They're obsessed with these entertainment things.
Okay, well, then
like,
where is it? Okay, so then where does it end?
I
sorry.
Don't know. I think it just... I think
you can't tell me a novel's as bad as TikTok. You can't.
Well, what...
On this podcast, we have proven that through study after study
but,
of our brains.
Yeah, okay. But I just think when we step back as aliens in 20,000 years and look at this generation, it's just like a cyclical thing. It's not necessarily like so unidirectional as it seems. And mm-hmm. and I don't know. I actually don't know. No, I'm not it's saying fair. It's good. I'm not saying like obviously social media is so toxic, but we're in the blip of it. And there might be a point where it changes because humans are like, this is too much.
Like, I will just
people said that about TV for sure.
Yeah.
TV will rot your brain.
Yeah.
Do we have rotted brains? Like, no.
Yes.
Not from TV. Now we're like, that's truly like where you sit down for half an hour at once and watch one thing. That's like Buddha.
You have to go. But a part of me is like, no, I think it has just gotten worse and worse. I'm just that person.
So, but do you think TV rotted brains?
Yes. And then know what came after TV? The internet. And then just rot.
So you think
to rot.
More rotted brains exist today than ever before?
Yes.
But don't you think
and
more
I still think
people,
TV rotted brains.
And what is the consequence
like
of rotted
Like when I used
brains?
To watch Jerry Springer, I was like, my brain's rotting. But I would watch it.
Like but I there's just, always going to be stuff to rot people's brains.
Yeah.
There's always going to be drugs. There's always going to be an escape.
I don't think mushrooms are rotting people's brains.
Well, maybe not those. But if you do enough of them, it probably is.
Interesting.
You do a little bit of
this is leading media. To something. This is leading to another episode. What's worse?
Drugs or social media?
Yes. Or like, yeah, like, cause I'm like, I do think it's different. And I think it's been a trajectory,
I mean, depends on
a trajectory of brain rot that's only gotten worse through media.
Yeah.
From like, I do, I'm just weird. Like I just feel that way. But you're right. It's like my parents would be like, you can't watch a movie. And now it's like, when I watch a movie, I'm like, I read a book. And
no,
it's
you're
like,
right. I mean, and there's like more and more problems in society that relate to health, mental health, like we're seeing crop up more and more that can probably be at the time attributed to TV. Like people were more stagnant and staying in more, not moving more. Now people are like seeing, having FOMO and doing all these crazy things. Yeah. And like, I don't disagree that that's true. There's like all these compounding issues and
old people are wise. And when older people are saying the next generation's messing up,
they always actually,
they
right.
might know something.
But then you look back at those people and you're like, you know, we're different.
Yeah, I know. It's true. It's
like,
true.
I don't want to be from 1820.
I know. I mean, I think I would have slayed at the time. Like, I think I would have been like an
no, you would have been slayed in a fucking bundle of sticks, bitch.
No,
burning
I wouldn't,
on fire.
I wouldn't have come out. I would have obviously married a
girl,
woman. Girl,
you
amazing
couldn't
life.
Hide it if you tried.
Mitch, are you kidding me? I would have had a great life. They would have been like, he's so quirky. And I would have just had like three kids. And it's like, damn. I wish I was alive in the 1820s. I wouldn't have told anyone I was gay. Are you kidding? People, I'm not going to get killed.
I mean, the witches at the Salem trials didn't have to tell them. They just thought they were. You don't have to tell people.
They'd I'd be selling the my rumors neighbors out left, right, and center. They'd be like, rumors are saying you're gay. I'd be like, no, who's gay? Frank. And I would just get that shit off me real quick. Anyways, wow.
Well, this, you know what? If someone's made it to the end of this pod, say so. I think we should call an episode like this a side note episode.
Wow.
Where we just are like, shooting the shit.
We needed to get it off our chest. We can't stop talking about it to each other. And we're like, we should talk
And
about
I feel
this.
Like there's lots of times where you might just want to like sit down and chat about something without having to necessarily like pull up a bunch of research and just have fun. I feel like there's something fun and nice about us just being able to laugh. And maybe it's just talking about something.
You're so funny.
What?
Just be able to laugh. I'm like, we didn't laugh. We just like yelled.
We laughed. I laughed and I laughed.
Oh, yeah. No, we laughed and we laughed.
You never laugh at me. I always laugh at you.
I always laugh at you. I thought you were saying, I was just saying it was like nearing the end. It wasn't so funny when I was just like, this
I'm
is
not saying
end
it's funny, but it's more, a little more fun, or we can just like, it's fun to be able to talk about things that wouldn't necessarily have science behind
them. Yes. Okay. So that's true.
If you've made it this far and you thought it was interesting and it was a fun episode, let us know, and maybe we'll do some more side note episodes.
Write them in the comments on YouTube. Write them in our Instagram. Write them on, we're just now telling everyone to go and do all the social media we just said was bad.
This is probably too late to ask. Someone needs to help me figure out how I can get people to send us voice memos.
Girl, you're so good at technology. You can figure that out and just focus.
I'm sure someone can figure it out.
No, Mitch, of all people, you're going to figure that shit out in 2 seconds if you really want it.
Okay. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Peace.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.